Blog Talk Radio.
I had to ask Melvin and Doug Williams to stop by.
Ooh, wee.
To remind us that there's purpose in our pain. It may not look good right now. Don't worry.
Oh,
they
have
been thinking about you and all the things you go through. Your mother, the cancer, the problems at home.
Sorry,
I wish I could think so strong.
Oh.
I hurt when you hurt, I cry when you cry.
Yes,
even the deep ones sometimes wonder, why am I going through? I'm waiting but still know you.
He is the only hope I have.
He's been you know.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And I am so blessed, hallelujah, to welcome you to Taking It to the Streets Revival for this Monday, October the 11th, 2021. And at this time, we are going to ask our very own Apostle Edwin Holloway to come forth and open up this revival in prayer. Amen.
Saints of God, listeners, I ask you to bow your hearts as we go to the throne of grace in Jesus' name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father God, we come before your throne. And, oh God, we ask you, Lord, to come forth and be in the midst of this revival. God, in the name of Jesus, this stirring up, this time of stirring us up, oh God, to get us back on track, to get us closer to you, to prick our hearts, to take the holy scepter and stick us, oh God, that we might be prone to turn around and come back to you like we're supposed to get it right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask you, Lord, to move in the midst, God, touch hearts, to break up the fallow ground, oh God, that they might receive the word that is going to come forth, oh God, through your messenger. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we ask you, Lord, to touch the messenger, to give,
yes,
oh
Lord.
God, we thank you for giving her the word. God,
yes,
a word,
Lord,
fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver.
Yes.
And God, we thank you,
yes,
for that,
Lord,
word. We thank you, oh God, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory and honor, God. Oh, God, we bind every hindering spirit, every foul spirit that will come up against this program and the speaker of the hour. We put hooks in your nose, your body, your lips, bind your hands and feet, and cast you out in Jesus' name. We bind every lying and deceiving spirit, every treacherous dealing, seducing spirit, usury. We put hooks in your nose, your body, your lips, bind your hands and feet, and cast you out in Jesus' name. And, oh, Lord, we just ask you, to, Lord God of heaven, to fill the void with the Holy Ghost, your power, your anointing, as we speak peace into this program in the name of Jesus. God, and Lord, we thank you, oh, God, for the speaker of the hour. We thank you, oh, God, that you've given us the word. We thank you, oh, God, that we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto us, oh,
yes,
God.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you for all those that are on the air, those that are on,
yes,
the podcast, those that are on their computers listening in.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for those that are overseas, oh, God. In,
yes,
the name,
Lord,
of Jesus, that you touch their hearts, oh,
yes,
God, that,
Lord,
they,
yes,
may know that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes,
it's,
Lord,
not what other folks say, but it's what you say, God, in the name,
yes,
of,
sir,
Jesus. It's what your words say, okay, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just want to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the whole world say amen. And amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I am so glad that you are all here with us tonight, because the Lord laid it on my heart to bring forth, to do everything that I could to help bring forth a revival. We have so many Christians that are worn out, wrung out, and tapped out because they're not allowing God to truly revive us, revive our faith, revive our hearts, revive our minds, revive our prayer lives, and revive our very souls. So on tonight, I have asked one who is very near and dear to me to come and to bring you a word on tonight. Now, what can I say about Apostle Jaylion Travis? It's simply that she is a woman of God. She is a woman of great character, and of great strength. And I love to hear God work through her because he always does it in a phenomenal way. So my brothers and sisters, prepare to dance, prepare to shout, get something to write with and to write on, retrieve your Bibles, and hallelujah, get ready, get ready, get ready, because the banquet table has been set. So please, help me to receive our beautiful speaker of the hour, God's anointed servant and apostle, my little sister, Jaylion Travis. Amen.
Amen. Bishop, thank you and thank Apostle for that prayer. I also want to give God glory and to give him thanksgiving because I'm so humble. Every time I hear some of the things that people say, I always say, Lord, who are they talking about? And it's not the accolades or, you know, he has to sometimes just say, they're talking about my servants and this is how people see my servant. I'm just truly just a servant. It's not so much as the title. I remember something that you said years ago, Bishop, about a book that you're writing, called to a position and not a title.
Work and not a title.
And,
amen.
And I'm called to a purpose. And, you know, the title comes with the purpose. But I just want to give God glory because the way that Apostle was praying and he was, you know, calling – he was thanking the people that were in the chat room on the computers all over the world. God has afforded us an opportunity, a platform to go by voice, by sound, and not by sight. And it ties into tonight's message, faith. We're going to talk about, you told me, you asked me to pick one, and the first thing came out was, revive our faith, and it's part of the revival. And the thing about it is that a lot of people will come at you with big words, and I don't use big words. I study a lot in Hebrew and Greek because their definitions of things that we study are a little bit more in-depth, and they can kind of sort of like bring it more to life to us. But I just gave God glory while you guys were praying. And as the music was playing, he was saying, be still, you know, and know because he's got, you know, he's in control. And that's one thing that when we're not still, when we're antsy or we're doubtful or we even just say, okay, well, forget it, it hadn't happened by now, it's not going to happen. That's when our faith dies. So I'm just going to give God glory. Father, I just thank you for the awesome opportunity that you've afforded us here tonight for revival. And this is a revival that's going into the world which you have actually ordained and commissioned us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for our leader, Bishop Charlene Cook, the overseer of No Bound Ministries and Spirit Alive, and the overseer for GAP Ministry, God's Anointed Purpose, for her being obedient, setting the purpose in place, writing the vision and running with it, but she's executing the vision through each of your servants. Now I ask as your humble servant, Father God, here I am. Use me. Fill me with everything that you want me to outpour into the people. Let their hearts and their spirits be open. And not only their hearts and their spirit, just open up their minds and their eyes so that they may see. Even though we walk by faith and not by sight, let them see the glory of God in this word, not in me, but in this word from you. Father God, I thank you, and it is in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so tonight we're going to take a little trip through the cemetery. And I remember one time riding with my sisters. And her husband, one of my sister's husbands, is a pastor. And we passed the cemetery. He asked all of us, he said, how many people in that cemetery, how many dead people in there? Well, some of the people that were riding with us were saying, oh, probably a lot, you know, hundreds of them. You know, and I just simply said everybody over there dead. Unfortunately, some of their purposes and their faces dead and buried with them. I never knew what I said then will come back into a sermon of something that God wanted us to share with the world. Now, the title of this sermon, or this message, is Revive Our Faith. You've got so many things going on in the times that we're living in now, where Bishop just said earlier, you know, you got the Christian saying Satan is winning, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. Satan is defeated. He was defeated on the cross. It may appear that he is gaining ground, but we are the sent ones that are sent not only to help bring in the lost, but to help revive. When someone passes out from a cardiac arrest, and that's what the body of Christ is right now, they're in a cardiac arrest state. We have to revive them or resuscitate them, just like when you're pulling someone out of a drowning situation. And when Christians are stating publicly that Satan is winning, that means that they're going under. They're drowning. And I need you guys to understand where I'm going, because there's a hook to this that's going to grab you, and it's going to enlighten a lot of things, and it's going to send you running into the street, not to just the lost, but to those who say that they're called, those who say that they're sent, because we need more revival, and the faith needs to be revived among the believers first. If that makes sense to y'all, because that's exactly what we need. The believers have to be in a position where we can help bring life to any dead situation. The word revive is a root word of the word revival. And it just simply means to recover, or recovery to life from death, recovery from a state of neglect, of oblivion, obscurity, to return to life. It also can talk about to be quickened. The body of Christ needs to be quickened. Where is your faith? My Godfather, when he sees you, the first thing he'll say, hey, how you doing? How's your faith? And I should always say, why does he always say that? But he asks people that everywhere we go. He is 101 years old right now, still living, still asking people, where's your faith? How's your faith? And the thing of it is, some people are like, I don't know, you know. But I honestly believe that as you go through the cemetery, there are a lot of people that their gifts are buried with them. But not just their gifts. If the gifts are buried with them, then the faith is buried with them as well. Because the word says in, James 2:14-26, because that's where we're going to dine from tonight. When you're in the cemetery, you just feel like you're just in a lost, a desolate place. But the cemetery of your faith is a place of neglect. A place where you've neglected to nurture something that it takes substance. Because, you know, the word says faith is the substance of things yet hoped for, but also the evidence of things what? Not yet seen. So when you walk through the cemetery, you see the tombstones. You can read who lies there when they came into the earth, when the sun rose on their life, and when the sun set on their life. But what happened in between that was that little dash. That little dash could signify the level of faith they had, or the level of faith that they allowed to die. Now, we're going to revive faith here. We're going to talk about, like it says in James 2, let's turn there, the book of James, second chapter, the 14 through 26. I'm going to tie all of this in. I'm going to just ask a general question. What will you do to revive your faith? Because we all have had a spot in our lives where our faith has dwindled. In some places, it has died. And some things, if you've allowed your vision to die, your faith died along with it. Whatever purpose God gave you and you're not operating in it, and if you've let it go, then your faith needs to be revived, because that's the only way that is going to happen, and that's the only way it's going to live. Now, in verse 14, it says in the book of James, and I'm reading from New King James Version, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, in verse 16, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be warm and feel, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have work, it is what? Dead. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have work. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. 19 says, you believe that there is one God. You do well, but even the demons believe and tremble. Do you want to know, that's in verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without work is dead? There it is again, faith without work is dead. 21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? In verse 22 it says, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? 23, the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. In verse 25, likewise, was not Rahab, who is like the great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers of God and sent them out another way? Now, in this final verse in 26, this is where I want it to hit the nail right here. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. Meaning, if there is no life in what you do, and your life has to be the faith, if there is no life, it's dead. When God commanded Elijah to tell the dry bones to live, he had to have faith that when he said it, speak to them, and they live. When God asks you to go into the world and to preach the gospel, you have to have that faith. But what has caused some, is there anything in your life, or has there ever been any time in your life, and I'm talking to those who are listening by Skype, those who are listening, those who are in the chat room, those who are in the military bases over in the other countries, and those who are a part of the studio audience today, what has left, what have you done with your faith? What has happened in your walk with your faith that has faded, died, or went limp? I'll say it like that, just went limp, you know, like has fainted. We need to be resurrected. We need lifeguards, meaning in a drowning situation in this time that we're in, people are more, they have more faith, as Bishop was saying, she has more faith in God than the vaccine. But people got faith in the vaccine and not in God as the healer, not in God as Jehovah Rapha, not in God's son, Jesus Christ, and the 39 lashes that he took. And by those stripes, we are healed. They don't have the faith in the word to speak and say, be thou removed. They don't have the faith to go to Psalms 91 and revive by speaking the word over their lives and say, sickness and disease is far from me and my dwelling. They don't have the faith to speak it, to speak and decree a thing, because see, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You're going to either speak life on it or you're going to speak death. Where is your faith? How is your faith? Revive your faith by speaking the word. There are some things that have died that we think, well, I'm too old to do it right now. But you got to revive that thing. And how do you revive it? You got to work it. Faith without work is dead. And the only way you can work something, you have to recover it. You have to speak life to it. When you speak life to it, you bring it from death. When you recover it, you bring it from a state of neglect, because then you start rewriting the vision. You start nurturing the vision, because you got to remember that revive means to recover from a state of neglect or oblivion or obscurity. You have to turn around and say, Father, I need wisdom, because something that seems so dense and vast to me, I need to be able to understand what I'm doing. So now it seems it's a bit obscure, but I need you to give me revelation and understanding. And once he does that, you have to speak that thing by faith, because faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And if it can move a mountain, what can you not do by bringing back your faith? We have to bring back faith into our schools, faith into our communities, faith into, okay, here I go right here, faith in the house of God. in the churches. Now we've gotten to a point where we feel like we can't function. Salvation can't come unless somebody come to the church. But Jesus said, go ye into the world, into the highways and the byways. He didn't say just go into the church house, just go into the temple, but go ye into the world. But you don't want to go ye into the world because you don't have that Cadillac to look good in when you're driving. So now you don't have faith in that hoofy that you're driving that God is giving. That God is giving you to drive because he's testing you. He's testing your faith. He's trying your faith. If you're going to be faithful in the little things, he will make you ruler out of much. But see, faith goes all through the Bible from Abraham all the way to the book of Revelation. It's going to take faith for us to get through these times. We're coming in the precursor of the days of Noah. Now, those who have the anointing, who are standing by faith, who are being bold in the word of God, have been revived, and they are calling for revival. They're praying and they're fasting. They're letting people know what 2 Chronicles 7, 13 to 16 is saying. Because when I was looking up scriptures about revived faith, it was talking about Isaiah 41 and 10 and Psalms 144 and verses 1 through 1 and 2. I was like, wait a minute, it's a lot. Then I started going back and I said, well, I just want to see, I want to peek at a few more things. Because, see, I already had James 2 and 14 in my spirit. I already know that faith without work is dead. I know that there are a lot of believers out there. Your faith is in the graveyard and it's time for us to revive it. In order for you to be effective in the body of Christ, you first have to be resurrected and you need to be resuscitated. You need to have somebody to come to you with Holy Ghost boldness and lay hands upon you and give you that charge to revive your faith so that people you can walk by faith and not by sight. We have gotten to be a body, and there is an infection in the body where they're now saying, oh, we got to prove this. We got to show the people that we're prosperous so that they'll know that God is with us. We got to show them the big houses. We got to show them that we're eloquent with our words. We got to show them how we shake our hair when we are preaching. We got to show them who can hoop the best and who can do this. But no, what we need to do is faith, use the word of God and work the faith. We need to go out there. It's not what we're wearing. It's not what we're driving. It's not where we're living. It's the work that we're doing that's going to revive the faith that has died all over the world. There are people that believe that they know that they were born a man, but without faith and without us standing where we're supposed to be in the gap, telling the truth, you were born a man, you're going to die a man. When you stand before God, you're going to be a man. But you want to go to a doctor and let society tell you, okay, plastic surgery, now your name has gone from Carl to Christy. Now your name has gone from Susan to Sam. But that's not who you are. That's dead faith. That's dead faith leads to lies. Dead faith leads to heresy. Because if it's dead, it doesn't exist. When it does not exist, Satan steps in with a false sense of a fake reality, of a fake sense of being. And when we allow that, then the dead things in the cemetery become zombies of faith. And I can't even say zombies of faith, just zombies that's just existing. And we have that in the body of Christ. We have leaders, and I'm not picking on leaders. I'm coming to the leaders to say we need to be revived. We not just revival, but we need to be revived before we can call a revival, because our faith is not, we're not working the works. We're not working the word of God. We're not telling people that there's a heaven and a hell. We're talking about prosperity. We're talking about money coming. And we're talking about, I see five houses. I see people getting keys to cars. We're not telling people that Jesus is on his way back. And when he comes back, it's too late then. Where is your faith then? Your faith is not, if you don't have the faith and if you're not working your faith, it's too late. You're not going to be in that number, as my grandmother used to say. But we've got to use our faith. We've got to work our faith to prepare the world to be rapture ready, because he's coming. He's coming, and he's going to come like a thief in the middle of the night. He's going to go through the grave, y'all. And this is the first part. Those who are dead in faith, in Christ, will rise first. They're going to go first before a lot of people that are walking around in faith. But what do we do while we're here? It is our responsibility to go as the lifeguards.
Just like when your lifeguard is at a swimming pool or at the beach, we have to watch out for the sharks, for the demons, for the things of the enemy. But when there is someone who is going down and they've gone down too much and they swallowed in and taken in too much and it's pulled the life out of them, we have to be in a position with the word of God to work it so that they can be revived, because that's the only way you can revive faith is to work it. You have to live it. You have to make sure that you are quickened by the Spirit of God by way of the Holy Ghost. People have to see faith in us, but we have to work faith in us. And you know, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, but things not yet seen. But it says not yet. So at some point it's going to be seen. When will we, as the body of Christ, as the servant leaders of God, going to rise up? When are we going to be revived? When are we going to be revived in fasting and praying? When are we going to be revived when we're going into a place and they know, oh, there go the woman of God right there. There go the man of God. Because, see, that's the evidence, because you're working God's word. You can't have faith without working his word. And the thing of it is, just like Abraham, when God told him to sacrifice his only begotten son, Abraham was, it was very saddened. And I know he wanted to bargain with God. I know he wanted to say, you know what, you promised me this here and you promised me that, but now you want to tell me, you want to renege on your promise. He could have done that, but he had a faith. And it was a faith that he didn't know himself that he had. But once he did what God told him to do, he was put in a position where he would never be removed. What I'm saying here tonight, what are you saying, Apostle Jay? What I'm saying here tonight, there are some of you out there on this call, out there in the world, that your faith has dwindled, your faith has died. We're going through the, we're taking this trip through the cemetery tonight to revive you. We're pulling you out of the grave. We're pulling your faith out of the grave, because faith without work is dead. It is time for us to pick you up, prop you up, and to support you and to stand in a gap with you, to touch and agree with you about your salvation, about your deliverance, about you not being called a woman when you were born a man, about telling you the truth so that you can be free. I can't be afraid to say what God wants me to say. I can't worry about being politically correct. I have to work by faith. I have to walk by faith. Listen to what I said again. I have to work by faith and then walk by faith, because faith without works is dead. I can't walk. A dead man can't walk. Only zombies, they say they do. But I don't believe in zombies. But what I'm saying is anything that is half dead is not fully correct. It's not partially correct. If it's half dead, it's just really dead. And I heard a lady say the other day, she said, you know, I feel, she said she was feeling somewhat tired and she felt like she was halfway dead. I said, you breathing, sweetie? And can you see me? She said, yes, ma'am. I said, well, then you all were alive. I said, you need to just get up and ask her whatever it is that you're going through. You need to talk to God about it. I said, and let me pray with you. She said, I've been asking people to pray for me. And they just said, well, girl, I'll call you back later. I'm going to go into prayer. But just like it said in this scripture, if someone comes to you and they're cold and they're naked, if you don't give them something, a substance to wrap them in, to warm them in, that's faith without works. If you're saying, well, I'm just going to go home and pray for you. I pray all is well, and I pray this is that. You know, I be praying for you. And I hear people say it all the time, girl, I'm having a rough time. My finances are rough. Okay, girl, I'm going to be praying for you. If you got $5, give it to them. That's faith with works. That's works. That's putting something in them, and that ignites it. I said it's just a little fire. It's just a little spark that can start a big fire. And sometimes all it takes is a little spark. When you're walking through a cemetery, you shouldn't be afraid. You should be commanding the dry bones to live. You should be commanding people's faith to live. And when I'm talking about the cemetery, I'm talking about this world. I'm talking about the highways and the byways. It's time for us to help revive the dead faith, the people that whose faith have died. There are people that we see that are homeless. Guess what? Their faith has died. They've lost faith in society. They've lost, when they shouldn't have had faith in society, they've lost their faith in God, in life. They need to be recovered. They need to be pulled out of obscurity. They need to come from a state of neglect, and we need to give them the attention with the word of God. We need to give them the attention with love. We need to give them the attention with help, because faith requires helping. Faith requires work. Faith requires sacrifice. Sometimes you have to, like, if the way that I love to go shop for shoes, If I see somebody in need, I'll say, you know what? I want to catch these shoes on sale, but I'm going to sew this into them. I'm going to either take them and buy a meal, or I'm going to help pay a utility bill, or I'm going to do something. And that way they'll see that there's faith walking outside of what they think that it's not there. They'll say, and I've done that before, and people have come and said, you know what? I had lost all hope. I had lost all faith. And I was like, why? Because I didn't know. I didn't see how it was going to happen. So they didn't see it. So that was faith without work. And when you can't, if there's no work, you can't see anything. But the thing is, it's evidence of things you're not yet seen. We have to be the people that shows up. Our faith has to be bound. Well, actually, we should take our faith and feed it the same way that we would feed someone and serve someone in our home or buy someone a sandwich. We need to talk to people about the Word of God. We need to let them know that they can be revived. If you can bring a dead man back to life that has been dead for more than 10 minutes, we can help bring people whose faith has died back to life. We can resuscitate that. We can help recover those things. We can bring those things out of a state of neglect. We can show them that when they come to us and say, hey, you know, I'm cold, and they come to you in the middle of the night, we can comfort them and give them the things what they need. Don't tell them to depart in peace, you know, and be warm. Clothe them. Give them the food, the substance that they need. And some people don't, it's not a physical food. They need spiritual food. This world really needs it. I mean, they have a lot of people thinking that they have COVID when it's really a serious flu. But since there's money behind it, guess what? That's what happened. And I'm not getting into politics. I'm just getting into real and getting into truth. We're not, I'm not talking about us, but then again, I'm talking about myself. We need to be in a position that we are already in, but we need to be active. That's the better word. We need to be active where people can, we could be that substance of the things that they're hoping for. Because I like to tell people my testimony. I like to tell people how I was 27 years old and pregnant with my youngest child, and my husband left home, and then the next night that I get a knock on the door, and they was taking me to go and see his body. I like to tell people how I didn't know how I was going to do it. I had 6 kids, and then he had 4 kids. 6 and 4 makes 10. I'm that young with that many children, and people were telling me, oh, you're going to end up on welfare. You're going to be on food stamps. This person going to have your child. This person going to have your child. But I had faith that God was going to do it, because he would have never gave me those children if it wasn't meant for me to have it. I didn't see what was going to go down the road. I just knew that in my heart that God was going to do it. I knew that God had greater for me. He had greater for my children. Did I go through hell and high water? Yes, I did. But did I lose faith? No, I didn't. I spoke the word to God. I spoke the word to every little thing. I spoke to the dry bones. I spoke to the cemeteries. I remember going to the cemetery almost every day when my husband died, and just sitting there saying, why did you have to leave me? And one day I just heard in my spirit, stop asking him why did he have to leave you. It was his time. And when you were born, God knew. Get up and walk by faith and not by sight. I knew what I was doing when I formed you in your mother's womb. And when I heard that sitting in that cemetery, I was like, all right, I left there. I haven't been back to my husband's gravesite since then. I may go every once in a while when I'm in that city, because I live in a different city now. But the thing of it is that I learned my faith had to stand no matter what my situation is. We have to stand no matter what our situation is for the sake of others. If we are calling for a revival, we first have to be revived. Our faith, our walk with God, our prayer life, our fasting, our being transparent, our being humble, we have to be revived, and we have to be restored to those things, not to the things of the world, because your riches and your wealth, they're going to give way to rust, and they're going to fade away. But your faith should never be something that dies. But if it does, I'm here to tell you about a man named Jesus, that what he did, it established the truth of what God can do in your life. And we should never lose sight of that. When
I was reading something that was in the book of Psalms, and it's, I can't remember which Psalms it was, but I remember it says, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word and quicken me to and give me life. I think it was like Psalms 119. In the Bible scholars on there, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's 119 and 25. But that stuck with me. Sometimes we can get to a point where our soul, our faith, can just cleave to the dust because we feel like all hope is gone. But your faith has never left you. It just has to be revived. And you don't need big mega faith. You just need faith the size of a mustard seed. I know some of you thought it was going to be some hooping tonight, but this has to be something that's going to teach you and something that is going to reach you. There is somebody, there are many on this call, and I don't know if you're going to press the one later on today, but we need to pray for your faith. We need to pray that your faith will not fail. And even if your faith has dwindled, we're praying that God, that you allow God to help restore that faith. It never left you. You just need to just stand by faith. That's all. And your standing is work. That's work. Because faith without work is dead. The only time your faith dies is when you stop living it. When you stop believing in the vision. When you stop moving and operating and executing in it, your faith will die then. But guess what? We serve a Savior. We have a Redeemer that the world thought he had died. Satan thought that they had killed him. And see, the enemy thinks that they've killed your faith. They think that your faith has died and now that they've got you. But I know for one, when he died, we died. But when he rose, we arose. And you're seated in heavenly places with him. So your faith should be right there. Your faith should be elevated in that position. And being seated in Christ is an elevation and a position where your faith should never, it can never be removed because Satan cannot touch that because all principalities and those things are under his feet. And if we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then those things are under our feet, but that let your faith be seated in your spirit. Let it be seated and positioned in your soul. Let your faith be seated and bound in the word of God, covered by the blood of Jesus. Let no doubt be, I know sometimes when we used to play sports, I remember hearing my my coach say, leave no doubt. And I asked him one day, I said, why do you always say that? He said, I don't want you to leave any doubt to let them know that you came, that you came, you are a conqueror, you're an overcomer, and you are victorious. Leave no doubt when you go out there on that volleyball court to let them know who you are. We need to teach people to leave no doubt in their spirit, no matter if the bills are due and they don't see anything coming in. Okay, well, if you give up, guess what? You're not going to see it. Because you've given away your faith and you've given over to Satan. So then he's going to step in and he's going to persecute you even more. Don't you know Satan is afraid of your faith? He doesn't want your faith to be revived. Can you imagine what he looked like when Jesus was resurrected and knocked on the gates of hell and went in and beat him in his own territory and took the keys of hell, death, and the grave? And he arose with all power. And when he arose, those who are in Christ, we risen with him. So if we're in Christ, get your faith back activated. Get it in key. Get it in sync with the word of God. Get it in sync with how God wants us to be because we're on here tonight talking about revival. This world needs it. We need it. Leaders need it so we can lead with verity and truth, so we can lead in righteousness and holiness. And the non-believers need it because they need to see it in us. They need to see the faith work in us. They need to see us go out and do what God says to do. I see Bishop do some things, and you'd be like, oh, my God. But if you knew what she went through, you know she's operating in faith. The women of Gap, and there are a couple of brothers that we have on the Gap team, we're a small ministry, but we do things by faith. We walk by faith. We talk by faith. We speak by faith. We see by faith. Are we perfect? No, we're not. Do we kind of sometimes get nervous? Yes, I do.
I can't speak for them, but I do. I get nervous, and then somebody always has to remind me and say, hey, girl, where's your faith? And then I can hear my Godfather saying, how is your faith? I'm asking you tonight, how is your faith?
Hallelujah.
Is there anybody on here? Is there anybody on here that your faith needs to be revived? And if there is, push that one. And tell us who you are, and we'll pray for you. And there are so many things in this word that you can get. But guess what? Even if you don't open your Bible, which I'm advising you to, that's how you find God. That's how you find him in that word. But guess what? Open your mouth and say, Father, I need you. Revive my faith. Revive my faith in the purpose that you gave me, in the vision that you gave me when I was a little girl or a little boy. Revive me again so I can come to myself. Revive me in my faith so I can, my mind can be renewed so that I know that I know that I know that I know. Because, see, you don't have to see it. It's just because you're going to eventually see it, because the manifestation is going to come. That's a promise from God. But it's the evidence, and it actually defies what the scientists say, but they have to admit that there are miracles. But a lot, like I've heard doctors say, y'all must be a big family of faith because we didn't see it. But faith
Amen.
Is the thing yet hoped for. And I know it's quiet tonight, and that's okay. That means
that's all right.
The
Let's
meal
do
is
this.
Good. That means that the meal is good, because sometimes when I'm eating good food, I don't talk to my friends. I'm eating because I'm being filled
Amen.
And I'm being nourished. And that's what
to
we
God
want
be the glory. Hallelujah.
And that's what we're going to do tonight. We want your faith to be revived so that if your faith is revived, then the revival will take place. Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. What a beautiful, beautiful word and time the word for on tonight. What I'm going to do at this time, glory to God, is I'm going to ask our beautiful, my beautiful mother apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers, to come forth right now and to extend an invitation to all of you that are in the chat rooms, all of you that may be in the studio listening via your computer. I would like for her to send an invitation to you for a relationship. We're not inviting you to a church. We're not inviting you into a building. We're inviting you to partake of a relationship, making Jesus your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask Apostle Zeta to come forth. She is going to give you the invitation, and then she will pray for you.
Yes.
Amen. Apostle
Amen. Amen. I'm right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, the word was presented so well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I'm going to pray for them. I think that's what you want, and anyway.
Do the invitation.
I'm going to do what I believe you said to do. Praise
yes,
God.
Ma'am.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I just lift up those that are in the chat room that she mentioned and others as well. Praise God. I just want to pray for you that you will just believe. Father God, those that are listening in tonight, we just pray, Lord, for them, for their faith, hallelujah. As the word went forth, hallelujah, the apostle said, hallelujah, that you don't have to have much faith. Even just as small as the size of a mustard seed is sufficient. So, Lord, I pray for these ones tonight, hallelujah, that have listened and heard your word. Hallelujah, their faith would be in operation. Hallelujah, that they would believe you, hallelujah, that they would believe you, God, the Father, hallelujah, and that Jesus, hallelujah, is your Son, hallelujah, the Son, hallelujah, that died for us on the cross and rose again, hallelujah, hallelujah, that we might live, hallelujah, oh, God, that we would be restored, revived, hallelujah. So, Lord, I pray that for them tonight. And I also pray, Lord, for their souls, hallelujah, those that don't yet know you, hallelujah, they would accept you tonight, hallelujah, into their heart, hallelujah, that they would accept
you, hallelujah, as their, hallelujah, their Savior in Christ
yes,
Jesus,
Lord.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. You said, Lord, that if they believe, hallelujah, if only we believe, hallelujah, hallelujah, we can be saved. We will be
yes.
saved. If we believe
yes,
that
Lord.
You are the Son of God, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
That we will be
yes.
saved.
Yes.
So I pray, Lord, hallelujah, that somebody is accepting you right now. In Jesus'
right now,
name,
Lord.
By faith. Not have ever seen you. Hallelujah. Maybe some don't know much about you. But Father God, I pray that they are accepting you right now with the
yes,
faith
Lord.
That they do have in
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name, in the mighty name of Jesus. And then, Lord, I pray for those ones that have accepted you on tonight. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah, that they will continue with you, God. Hallelujah, that they will learn more about you, that they will be in your holy word. Hallelujah, that you will bless them to be under someone's church, hallelujah, or ministry,
yes, yes.
hallelujah, where they can hear the true word of God.
Yes,
hallelujah,
Lord.
That they will grow and be strengthened in you, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, that they will learn about you, that they will have a relationship with you. Hallelujah, that they will serve you, hallelujah, for the rest of their days. In Jesus'
yes,
holy
Lord.
And righteous name, amen. And amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Zeta. And yes, ma'am, you did exactly
amen.
What I asked you to do. Praise
Thank
God.
You.
Now, brothers and sisters
amen.
In Christ, if you too would like to put your praise on it, right now all you have to do is press your one, and we will bring you into the midst of this worship service. I would like to also say to all of my beautiful and anointed Spirit Alive family, Gap family, and Love Connection family. I want to thank you for being in the house tonight. God bless you. And I'm going to go through the house right now, and I'm going to allow all of them, hallelujah, to put their praise on it, to give God glory. Thank you, Jesus, for faith. So we're going to start. I'm going to start with Elder Leola. We're going to start with you, and then I'm going to jump down to Spirit Alive Minister Tina. So I'm going to start with you, Elder Leola, and then we're going to move right on to Minister Tina. Amen.
Amen, amen. Apostle, that was a great word, reviving your faith. It was really, really a good message. Some of us need that revival of faith with everything that's going on in the world, with things that's going on in families, in the church. So it was a very good message. Thank you.
Bless you.
Minister Tina?
Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for another beautiful message that was delivered to us today in revival and reviving our faith and how to revive our faith and how just having the faith of a mustard seed is all that we need, but keeping our faith alive by getting into the Word, following along with Christ's teachings every day, and teaching others about Jesus helps us stay revived as well. But basically every morning, waking up with our prayer, thanking Jesus for another day, thanking our, you know, counting our blessings and not the things that are holding us back, trusting and walking by faith with God, knowing that God is going to deliver before he even delivers. And just having that faith is so important in our everyday life. And I am so thankful for the Spirit of Life Ministries and for Apostle Jaylion's message today. In Jesus Christ, I pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Tina. God bless you, precious one. Hallelujah. We will now go out to our camp in Arizona, where our beautiful Holloway family resides, and we would like to hear from Apostle and Prophetess at this time.
God bless you. God bless you all. We just want to thank Apostle Jaylion for the message. Just a wonderful safe message. The word was really rich and geared in there to all of us. And what I noticed, a couple of points.
that one was that we should be the answer to someone else's faith. And when they're asking God for something, and we know that we should do it. We should go on and do it and tell our own flesh, no, God will provide for us. Just give. And I thank God for that word. And that also, you said that we don't need mega faith. And I thought about this little song that we sing occasionally. It says, faith, faith, faith. Just a little bit of faith. You don't need a lot. Just use what you got. You know, be given a measure of faith. And we thank God for whatever that measure is. So we thank God for the faith tonight and what we heard.
Yes.
God bless you, Apostle. Go ahead.
God bless you, Amen.
We give God praise, glory, and honor for that message, Apostle J. Leon. We thank God for your diligence and coming with the word. Yes, we have to believe, trust God, and stand by faith. And when folks come, folks call, we've had folks call and say, oh, pray for me. My rent is due, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And immediately I said, well, how much your rent? They tell us how much the rent. I say, okay. So I say, okay, we praying. We prayed for them. We prayed that God would bless them with the rent. But then we turn around, and we put a check in the mail. And before you know it, they're calling back. And they're so happy, they're so glad, they're so excited that we blessed them that they didn't get put out of their place, and we just going by faith, loving on folks and believing and trusting God, because God, He knows all things. He knows all things. Step out by faith and do what he says for us to do. And he turns around and he blesses us. So it's about the grain of mustard seed. Yeah.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
But God, he believes.
God, amen.
And I know for us, God has it said some things. He said, you, Abraham and Sarah. Okay, Lord. And then the doctor comes along and says, okay, you, this is happening with you, and you ain't. I say, okay, God, but you said. But God, you said. So I'm going to stand and believe you. He said, the scripture said, whose report are you going to believe?
I'm gonna
believe the report of the Lord. So I'm standing in faith and believing God that you're gonna do something, or you're gonna tell me something to do. So I give God praise, glory, and honor for the word tonight. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, we've got some more gap standards up in here, but you know what? I never put any of my family on blast. If there's anyone else who would like to have a word? Minister Kimberly, would you like to have a word? Amen.
Anyone? She's at work. Okay.
Praise God. Praise God. I got it. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Praise God. We are so blessed by all that we have heard tonight. We just want to thank all of you for coming in and listening to us. I want to thank my beautiful sister, Apostle J. Leon Travis, for that wonderful word about reviving our faith. Hallelujah. We need to keep our faith revived on the daily, but we have to exercise that faith in order to keep it revived and keep it alive. So I pray that each and every one of you that have listened tonight, you have been blessed by this anointed word, that you will apply this word to your daily life so that God will always get the honor, the glory, and the praise. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook. And I'm so blessed that you all have listened to us on tonight. And I want to thank all of my Kingdom family for joining me. First and foremost, we want to thank the lovely Apostle Jaylion Travis, Elder, hallelujah, Leola Williams. We want to thank Apostle and Prophetess Holloway. We want to thank our beautiful and anointed Apostle Zeta Flowers. We want to thank our lovely minister, Tina. So we just want to thank all of the family that shows up and shows out in the name of Jesus each and every week. And we want to thank all of you. So on behalf of all of us, we pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. You have a beautiful and blessed week. And from your household, from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. Good night, family.
Amen.
I
love God
you.
Bless you.
Good love
night, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. God bless you.